want a piece of me?
Who I feel like. Want to do your bunk?
Good morning, Vietnam!
I love the smell of red gum in the morning.
You're gonna need a bigger punch.
I feel the need for speed.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Love means never having to say you're sorry.
You do! You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
I answered. And don't call me sure.
There's no crying in baseball!
This is wrong, bitch.
Hey, the Schwartz baby!
I am the father.
Get you, my pretty.
Take your stinking paws off me.
May the force be with you.
Here's Johnny!
What's up, film fans? Welcome to another bonus edition of the Cinnamon Movie Podcast. As we are here in this next installment of the Friday the 13th bonus series, as we talk probably the most anticipated film of this franchise for some reason, Freddy vs. Jason. I'm your host, Juan. I'm joined here with Zach.
Hey, guys. Doing something new, filling in for a couple people.
And, man... If this is your first time joining us for this bonus episodes, we started these back in June with the A24 series. It's literally a jump right into the movie. We'll sit here and usually on our full length episodes, we'll have segments and top fives and talk to you about some recent watches and recommendations. But on these bonus episodes, we're just going to talk about the movie, dig into some favorite kills, and then give our star rating. And then it's hard to believe that this is the 11th straight week of this Friday the 13th series. We have one more to go, and then we will do a unboxing opening of the Friday the 13th collection Scream Factory box set. Zach, how are you doing?
I'm doing good for a Thursday. Hey, it's one more day, and we get the weekend again.
And then the weekend. So yeah, going into the weekend, and then Monday, what a way to end the month with Dune.
Hopefully it's a lot better than the last time we visited Dune.
It was not a pleasant experience. If you guys want to listen to that episode or any of the episodes in the archives, go back and check them out on Spotify, Anchor, Podbean, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Amazon Music, TuneIn, Stitcher, wherever you listen to podcasts at. And now, thanks to the Prescribed Films Network, we also are on iTunes. Just hashtag PFPN. And search the Prescribed Films Network, and you'll find us right there.
And with the exception of Dune, David Lynch's Dune, we've had a pretty good month. We got no time. We finished the Bond series with No Time to Die, and we just got done talking Halloween Kills.
Yeah, it was a fun month. Usually, Zach, these Septembers and Octobers, we're doing nothing but horror movies.
Yeah.
But there's so many new and fun movies that we had to talk about. There's no way we could choose, you know, Halloween 4 and not do No Time to Die.
Yeah. I mean, and there's even other stuff out in the theaters, like I think this coming weekend or the weekend after is Edgar Wright's new Last Night in Soho. There's The Last Duel, Ridley Scott's new movie.
There's Venom.
Venom, yeah. Adam's Family 2. Yeah, there's still there's a bunch of stuff at the theaters, guys.
So yeah, go back and listen to some of those episodes in the archives. Even the Halloween Kills, like Zach said. But this would have been a good year to do Halloween 4 because of the Scream Factory release of that nice box set.
It was.
But yeah, let's get ready to dig into it, man. Freddy vs. Jason has an IMDb standing of 5.7, a 41% on Rotten Tomatoes, and then the Metascore is 37% with a budget of $30 million. It actually grossed over $116 million at the box office with a August 15th, 2003 release date. Zach, did you get to check this in the theater?
No. This is one of the few ones I did not check out in the theater. Actually, I remember I remember, like, the hype around this movie. It was, like, really big. Everyone was talking about it. The first time I actually knowing anything about it was at AMC Quell, where you remember, well, you can walk down the hallways and they have the movie posters on the walls.
Yeah.
They had the iconic Freddy versus Jason poster. I was like, oh, that looks awesome.
Those posters, it didn't matter which ones, was it, whether it was the face-to-face or the two bodies standing next to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Those posters were just...
And I think it was no, it was the one with the face-to-face, the claws and the machete, like, intertwined with each other.
Yep.
Really good poster. So, and I don't think I checked this out until it hit DVD, later after the theater, I think at Blockbuster.
04, 05.
Yeah.
What did you think, man? How was it the first time, you know, watching this movie compared to revisiting it for the episode?
The first time watch, I remember being kind of overwhelmed with it. I remember there being just a lot of backstory on Freddy and Jason, and well, more Freddy than Jason, and I really hadn't seen Nightmare on Elm Street, I hadn't seen any of those films, and so I was like, okay, you know, that's nice to give me kind of a little kickback of what happened prior. And then I remember I liked the fights, and that's really the main thing. I don't remember anything else, just the fights. And then on this recent watch, I checked it out on HBO Max. They have all the Nightmare on Elm Street films on there.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Oh,
one,
nice.
One through the remake.
I didn't know that.
And so on this rewatch, it wasn't a letdown. It just wasn't as good as I remember it being. So
as we get ready to talk Freddy versus Jason, Freddy Krueger and Jason Voorhees return to terrorize the teenagers of Elm Street. Only this time, they're out to get each other, too. Directed by Ronnie Yu, starring Robert Englund, Ken Kiesinger, unfortunately is not Kane Hodder as Jason Voorhees, Kelly Rowland, Monica Keena, Jason Ritter, Chris Marquette, Brandon Fletcher. You know, like we said, I'm not going into any of these movies expecting a Quentin Tarantino written dialogue or an Oscar-worthy performance like from Denzel.
Mm-hmm.
But I gotta say, this movie reminded me of our conversation, Zach, of King Kong versus Godzilla.
Yeah.
And I have it here in my notes that I kind of compared it to that movie scene, is that you don't go into this movie or that movie expecting some great dialogue from the surrounding cast.
Right.
You go in to see the two monsters battling it out.
Yeah.
What do you think about that comparison? Fair?
It is fair. I mean, I think...
Even though this is the biggest budget any of these movies have ever had, this is a $30 million budget, and this is also one of the highest grossing slashers of all time.
Mm-hmm. I think the comparison to Godzilla versus Kong is aptable. I think, you know, with the Godzilla versus Kong, I think both you and me can agree it's probably one of the better movies we've seen this year in 2021. You just care about the title characters. Yeah. This one in Freddy versus Jason, I think you have to attach to at least one of the teenagers, and that way you have a reason to care if they live or die. I mean, Monica Keena, who plays Lori, I mean, she's the main one.
Yeah.
You know.
She's the it girl, but I like how they put the twist on what happened to her mom. At some point, they even tease that the father killed the mother.
Yeah.
What did you think of that? I enjoyed the aspect of them treating Freddy Krueger almost like a mythical creature, almost like they didn't let the kids talk about him. They mm-hmm. locked up the kids that did know about him, and they gave him a bunch of, you know, drugs.
Yeah.
Something that they haven't done in any of the prior movies before. What did you think of that aspect about the kids forgetting about Freddy? The whole...
The reason he comes back.
Yeah, the storyline of him disappearing.
I like the aspect of Freddy having to resurrect Jason in order to install fear onto the kids, and that's how he gets his powers back. I guess, and this is going to be sound so nitpicky, I just didn't care about any of the human characters other than Monica or Lori. Yeah.
I never do anyway.
But I mean, like, I just thought, I don't know how you thought, but I just thought some of the performances were just bad.
They're always bad, and that's one thing that we've kind of gone through the past 10 films prior.
Mm-hmm.
Even last week when me and Mark talked Jason X, we don't really care about the characters.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we go into these movies and we're kind of just bloodthirsty. We want to see those monsters tear people apart. We want to see how innovative some of the kills are. And then I think we want to see, you know, some of the story. We want to see how he is resurrected. We want to see, and I don't know why. If this was a regular episode, I'm sure you would be able to tell us some things that we did not know. Mm-hmm. But I do want to know why sometimes this movie in particular is only sold with the Friday the 13th movies, mm-hmm. and it's not sold with any of the Freddy Krueger movies.
Which is interesting because there's the same company.
Yeah, it's both New Line Cinema, but out of every single box set that has ever came out, Freddy vs. Jason is always in the Friday the 13th movies.
Yeah. And something I don't understand is like, and maybe because, maybe you can attest to it because you've seen, you guys have been watching all the Friday the 13th. One thing that has always bothered me about this movie, even way in the past when I watched it, was why does Jason get most of the kills and Freddy gets one? Freddy only gets one kill in the entire film.
Well,
and all the other ones is Jason.
Remember, no, in the beginning, he couldn't get into anybody's dream because he wasn't powerful enough.
Right.
So Jason had to do most of the killing then, and then I think that's what kind of triggered Freddy to begin with. Remember, Freddy was strong enough to get into somebody's dream, and he was getting ready to hack somebody up, but Jason had already
got her, yeah.
So, and I think that's what triggered Freddy into like, okay, you're not listening, now you're just a big dumb bitch, it's time for me to do away
take
with you.
Take you out, yeah.
So I think that's initially why. But yeah, I agree with you. I didn't care for any of the main characters in this one other than probably Monica.
Lori, yeah.
Yeah.
You noticed the Halloween reference?
I didn't.
Lori.
Oh.
Lori from Halloween. It's just interesting that they named that character that.
I didn't like Jason's look really in this either. Compared to some of the past few movies, I thought his look was okay. But
does he always have, like in the prior ones before this, does he have the blackened face, like it's been molded or like rotted away?
No, in the past, he has looked like a zombie underneath the mask, but this is the first one where he's almost like pitch black.
Mm-hmm.
To me, his skin in this movie looked whack, like he was made out of wax.
I do like, you know, that we get we can go through the movie if you want to start doing that.
Yeah.
The whole history of Freddy sequence, you know, you get his background, and I think that like even the look of Freddy is different, because, you know, it's kind of
he's a little darker. He looks a little bit more demonized.
Yeah, because he has, like, the pointy teeth and everything.
Because this is the first time you see Freddy, if you count Wes Craven's Nightmare in 94, but if you don't, this is the first time you see Freddy since 93.
Mm-hmm.
So a whole 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I haven't seen all the Nightmare on Elm Streets, but the ones I have seen, you know, I think they kind of borrow from each of the films their different look. Because, you know, he kind of starts off with the classic original Nightmare Freddy. But then, you know, when we get to the scene where Laurie's in Jason's nightmare, he springs out of the water. They kind of go back to, like, the demonic look from New Nightmare.
Yeah.
So.
When he's, you're talking about when he springs out of the water at the end?
Yeah.
When we did talk about Wes Craven's New Nightmare, was that your first time seeing that one?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was, I kind of like the way he looks in this one.
Mm-hmm. He looks more
scarier.
Yeah. More, like, I guess realistic, because he's more, he keeps getting brought back into the real world.
Yeah.
So.
This is probably the best he's looked since maybe the original one. The original one, he looked more like a burnt victim, too.
Yeah.
You don't really get a lot of main, like, single kills, because, you know, you got the cornfield party, which we'll talk about here in just a second.
Mm-hmm.
But before we get to there, what did you think of Jason's first kill of the guy getting folded up under the bed?
Ugh. That's one death in, you know, this film that's just like, oh, that'd be, like, brutal. He gets hacked up through his back with a machete, and then he gets, like, bent over backwards with the bed. I do like the little bit before that was the title card where it's like Slice and Dice that creates the New Line Cinema.
Yeah.
And then the blood spurts out and creates Freddy versus Jason. It looks like it's been like hot blood, like baking on the wall or something. It looks kind of cool.
I don't know about, you know, this at the time when this movie first came out, it had a record for having the most fake blood involved in any movie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it still has that, but yeah, they used
tons of it.
A lot of
Do you
blood.
Think it was too much? Because there were points where it's just like, in this rewatch, it's like, do we need to do that? It's like, is that enough?
I think it's fine at the end when the two are fighting.
Each other up, yeah.
But, I mean,
But I mean, like, there were like scenes in this movie where, like, a good example is at the beginning where Jason rises up and he kills the naked girl, basically, and that goes to the tree, and the like slipping off the blade. It's just like, okay, you know. They do that several times throughout this movie.
They also do that throughout the whole franchise. It wasn't. If it was some random, probably Friday the 13th movie, I would probably say that may be a little too much.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they're just thinking, we have these two
iconic characters. Let's go at it.
Yeah, because you got to remember, I mean, I don't know if you listened a few weeks ago, but when we talked to Jason Goes to Hell, I give that movie a 3.
Worst movie
in the whole series. But at the very, very end, the only light in the tunnel is that in 93, Freddy's claw comes up and grabs his mask and pulls it down to hell.
So that's the one that kind of set this whole thing up.
That one was supposed to be the one that sets it up. And then like 94, 95, they were supposed to have Freddy versus Jason. It took them 10 years.
Yeah.
To get everything down. That's why Jason X was created, because they're like, oh, we got one more movie in the contract.
And the other side of that is actually that New Line Cinema wanted to do Freddy versus Jason back in, which would have been 94, 95.
Yeah.
But Wes Craven said, no, I want the rights back. I want to do one more. And we got the awesome new Nightmare, which, you know, it is what it is. But it was just one of those things where it's just like, I have another idea. Let me take one more crack at it. If not, you can do whatever you want with it.
And they ended up doing. But and I think that also ultimately cost Kane Hodder to, you know, beat Jason one last time and have. Because before this one, he did 7, 8, 9, and 10. Mm-hmm. So he's the only actor who portrayed Jason more than twice, more than two times. So I think that would have been pretty cool to see those two horror icons go at it. And then, you know what, 2003, that's the last time that Robert Englund had
portrayed. That was his swan song. He's never put the makeup back on.
Do you think he'll do one more movie, or do you think he's at the age? I think he's almost in his 80s, to be honest with you.
I think he's done. I mean, truthfully, I think he's. I think maybe he's done it. Maybe at a con.
Yeah.
He's never done it like to get back on a movie. It's like a 4-hour process to put all that prosthetics on. So I think he's. You know, I really truly believe like his performance in this movie is. You know, you don't have to do anymore. It's a good performance. It was a good way of going out, and you know, you don't need to say anything more about it.
What did you think of the cornfield scene where the teens are partying and he's 74.
Oh.
So just a quick reference in there. He's 74, but he looks like he's in pretty decent shape to be 74.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Yeah, the cornfield scene, it was, you know, again, it's, you know, not the best. You could have probably got better extras or whatever, but you can clearly tell that one guy that the bigger set dude, he comes running out of the field, and you can tell his mouth is full of, like,
blood.
Just the squirt at the screen or whatever. And so I was like, all right.
What did you think of the funny dialogue where he's like, this isn't a Halloween party, you big dumb hick or something like that?
Why don't you go find a pig to go, you know?
I wouldn't say that was probably one of my more favorite memorable scenes. Is you do get Jason just randomly hacking up everybody that's at that party.
Mm-hmm.
But in that party is when you do get like the final four, I'm guessing. You get Kelly Rowland's character. Let's talk about her for just a quick bit, because she was a pretty big name at the time.
Yeah.
And I thought she was going to be more than just the best friend. I thought she was going to be like,
last person standing with Laurie. Yeah.
But
she gets hacked a bit.
She does. She gets it pretty bad. So
what do you think? Probably one of my favorite deaths in the movie is Mark's death, where he has the nightmare with Freddy and he sees his brother that committed suicide.
It was a pretty
dark,
yeah,
very dark death. And then, you know, he says, I'm not going to do what you want. And Freddy gets in his face. I was like, all right. Because that's, I'll just have to send the message myself.
Is that technically is Freddy's one and only kill, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, going back to even Blake's death, where it's ultimately Jason that does it, you know, I do like the shadow where you think he's going to get it, but he's just not strong enough to kill somebody.
What did you think of the, because they end up breaking back into the asylum
mm-hmm.
after that scene. Is it...
That cop was so useless. I don't know why he's in the movie. Like, he's there just to provide dialogue for the characters.
Oh, Deputy Scott?
Yeah. But, I mean, he ultimately... Like, his death is not even good. He just gets electrocuted.
Him and his actor. He was probably my least favorite actor in the whole movie.
Mm-hmm.
He just felt...
Just... Cheap. Yeah, like he just walked on the stage or whatever. Yeah.
He felt like he belonged in an Allstate commercial.
Yeah.
But it wasn't, you know, like I said, this movie is a lot better than some of its predecessors in the past.
Yeah.
Really,
it's really like, you know, with...
But again, that would be us really, really nitpicking when we are talking about, like, the sheriff or anybody else in this movie. Because, I mean, if I didn't get to see this one in the theater either, but if I did, the whole reason would be Freddy versus Jason.
Yeah.
And,
you know, we can go into that. The first fight is after, you know...
Round one is what I called it in the boiler room.
Yeah. Which is a really, really cool... I mean, Jason gets tossed around like a pinball in the pinball machine, but, I mean, it's really good, and it ultimately sets up, you know, that nightmare of Jason's, which I guess...
He's afraid of water.
Has it always been the case?
This is the first time that they really mention it in the movie. There is a scene in Part 8, Jason Takes Manhattan,
mm-hmm.
where he's in a sewer, and the people who are going to survive that day are climbing a ladder, and Jason's trying to climb the ladder to go after him, but he sees the big wall of water coming down towards him, and he, like, you know, makes some weird, strange noise, and his voice goes back to a 12-year-old boy, and the water takes him and drowns him again, but those are the only two times that they really testify and bring it up that he's terrified of water.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, I think it's cool because, you know, throughout this whole point when you're sitting here watching it, if it's your first time watching it, you're like, you know, we know how to beat Freddy because, you know, they've done it before in the past, take him out of the dream and you can kill him.
Yeah.
But with Jason, how really do you get that big bastard down?
Yeah, because even Freddy, you know, he literally... throws him around in the boiler room and, like, creates one of the big mechanical container, like, metal things, drops it on Jason, and that should be, like, that, you know, any human, that'd be, like, you'd be squished like hamburger meat. But then he's, like, he starts to move, and he's, like, why won't you die? You know, which I think is a really cool scene.
Yeah.
And I guess you really, I mean, you're the... Again, you and Ed have been going through these films. I don't think there's a really way to kill Jason because he's almost like Michael Myers because it's like there's really – is he mythical? Is he's just a man. How does he keep living?
Well, it's worse, man. There's some movies where he's been buried and dead for years and lightning strikes his grave and he magically comes up. But there's some scenes – there's some irritations or – what's the word I'm looking for? There's some involvements of Jason to where he is like a big zombie looking creature. There's mm-hmm. some movies where he's actually got his like bones and his skeleton showing.
Which I do, you know, when Jason rises up in this movie, I do think it's a cool scene where like the body's been decomposed and the lung, you can hear the lungs like,
oh yeah.
And the heart starts beating and it was like, okay, you know, those were good. I don't know if those were practical effects and they were well done.
Sounds like you're getting lasagna out of a pan to put on your plate.
When you go to Olive Garden, yeah.
What did you think of Jason's little flashbacks after that scene where he's kind of drowning
mm-hmm.
and, you know, Jason's got the dream, the nightmare sequence going on. And, you know, you see the little deformed kid running around and Freddy's over there doing his thing.
Yeah.
And then Kelly Rowland's character is like sitting there debating whether or not she should give him CPR.
Yeah, which it is disgusting because he's like, you know, later in the dream, he starts to drown in the water, and in the real world, Jason starts like throwing up water. It's like that is a disgusting scene.
And then really kind of after the scene where, because the whole plan is taking Jason back to Crystal Lake
to give him the advantage. Yeah.
Yeah, so he can just kill Freddy, and maybe they all just do away with each other.
Yeah.
So they get Freddy out of the nightmare eventually. And then round two, you have the cabin at the lake.
Oh my God.
Where it's Freddy's out of the nightmare land mm-hmm. and you have Jason, and that's kind of round two.
Yeah. The cabin's on fire and he takes Freddy and literally like shoves him through the different windows and like throws him clear across into another cabin.
And literally, how did you think of this pacing? It's an hour and 40-minute movie, but you don't get any Freddy touching Jason until an hour and 5 minutes in.
Yeah.
Was the first hour rough for you?
You know, it's just character stuff. You know, you're trying to set up these characters to be likable, even though the only ones you really care about is Lori. Is it Will? Is that her boyfriend?
Yeah.
And Kelly Rowland's character. And so, I mean, when you get a group of, anytime you're in a horror movie, you get a group of teenagers together, it's like, okay, you're counting them down, 1, 2, 3, 4, and they all have their kills until you have, like, the main 2 or 3 standing. So,
yeah,
it's just a recipe for these type of films.
So round 2, I would almost kind of say goes to Advantage Jason.
Yeah.
Because
by the time they get onto the dock and they're starting hacking each other up, I do like the idea that they're using each other's weapons against each other.
Oh yeah. What did you think before we get to that scene? What did you think of the stoner's death where Freddy was kind of like taking over his body?
Yeah, that one, even that whole thing where he's a worm and he like goes into the guy's mouth and basically possesses him, and then he gets the ultimate death probably, where he gets like hacked in half right, by Jason. Yeah.
Even those worms look better than the ones from Dune.
I think anything in this movie looks better than Dune.
But no, I would agree. Once they get to the
The pier fight itself is like blood galore, because something I don't understand is how is it that Freddy literally blinds Jason, puts his knives in his eyes, and then like when he's floating in the water, his eyes are back.
He had the force.
Yeah.
Maybe
it was that spice from Dune that made him blind.
There you go. What did you think of Kia's death?
That was brutal.
To where she's, you know, she, for some reason she got enough balls to sit there and start taunting Freddy, and then boom, Jason's right behind her. And
which I like. One thing I do like about that scene is like when she gets it, she goes clear flying into a tree, and Freddy's like, even that was bad.
I don't know if you've seen enough of the Nightmare films, but what did you think of Freddy's just dialogue in this movie, as far as like whether it be,
you know, it's not as jokey. You know, I know for a fact that Freddy, if you get past 2, maybe 3, he becomes the kind of stand-up comedic Freddy.
Yeah, 4, 5, and 6, he's just
jokes and jokes and jokes. And he doesn't really do that in this film.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of go back to the original. They try to make him a very menacing villain, and he uses the word bitch a lot in this movie, which I guess he does in the other films, but
He reached into his inner Jesse Pinkman.
Yeah. Are we sure that wasn't Eric Paul that was playing Freddy? Yeah, but I mean, I like how that is one thing I don't understand about like horror villains is that like they try to change them up to make them either more likable or, you know, just more funny. And you don't need to do that. I mean, I understand like as a film studio and as like the film, as the creators of the movie, you try to make it where it's a little bit different than the last one. But I mean, Freddy's always been a very menacing character without the jokes.
Yeah.
And so I think is it part 3, the Dream Warriors, where he's like, it's like super dark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really, really dark in that one. Did you at any point were you on anybody's side as far as Freddy or Jason at any point during this watch?
I mean, I've always liked, me personally, I've always liked Freddy, so I was probably more towards them. But by the end of the film, you can tell, like, you know, and we'll talk about, like, the last scene of the film, but you can clearly tell by the end of it, it was going to be Jason that kind of has, like, total victory over this. So
round 3 is the lake scene. After Kelly's death is when you really start them just, you know, Freddy's getting his limbs cut off, Jason is getting the claw punctured into every single part of his body. All at this point, you know, Lori is trying to
end this once and for all and set everybody on fire.
Yeah. But, you know, Will's like not having any of it. He's like, we can get out of here. And she's like, I want to see Freddy die.
Mm-hmm.
She don't care about Jason. She just wants to see Freddy die.
Yeah.
Because of Freddy killed her mom.
Yeah.
So with that being said, man, I still did not have any character love for any of the main characters. I was just involved in strictly the fight at the end.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you can necessarily call this as like a kill count, but I would say when they were both in the water and it looked like it was over, and then Freddy had the machete, and then Jason used Freddy's arm to kill him, kind of. Mm-hmm. What did you think of that scene?
I do like that, because it was like, oh, Freddy's going to get one last raw, and then Jason was like, nope. And then, like, he
falls in the water. Yeah.
And then, you know, it's Lori that kind of has the last laugh in the matter. She says, welcome to my world, bitch, and chops off her head.
Chops off his head. Had a really good sentimental ending to the way, you know, if that was Robert Englund's very last hoorah, which, you know, a lot of people say it is, I think that's a perfect way to write the character off.
But then you get the final scene, the science scene of the movie.
Right. But even then, I still say that that's perfect because, you know, let's say the Jackie Earle Haley nightmare never happened. You don't even have to count that one.
Mm-hmm.
I do just really, really enjoy how his head got chopped off. He fell into the lake. And then fast forward to the ending, you know, Jason so-called wins.
Mm-hmm.
But he's walking away with Freddy's head. But Robert Englund just winks at the camera one last time. I think that's a perfect way. If that is the ending way, that's perfect to end that character.
Yeah, I mean, I do. This is truly a film that if we could go back in time, I would love to see this with a large audience in the theater. Because, like, I mean, you know, he comes.
Would you? Would you really? I think it would.
Yeah.
It would look and sound like the beginning of Scream 2.
That is true.
That's how the audience, I believe, would probably act, especially if you went like on a Friday night with nothing but teenagers or young adults.
Yeah, but I mean, it's very interesting the concept of, you know, Jason's stalking out of the water, and you think, oh, well, he's the clear winner. He has Freddy's head, and then, like you said, he winks at the camera and it goes to credits. And you're like, what is that supposed to mean? But, you know, I mean. You know, we can do some fantasy booking. Do you think that this needs a sequel?
No.
You know, this obviously, the ending clearly tried to set it up to be one, but...
I think in some way they probably had to do that just because of how hot that movie... They knew how hot that movie was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
But looking back at it, we're almost, what, 20 years later?
Yeah.
20 years later, I don't think it even needs
a sequel. And both of these characters have had remakes.
Yeah. Because in 2010, you had the Nightmare remake. 2009, you had the Friday the 13th remake.
Mm-hmm.
And really, since then, that's it. There hasn't been another Friday the 13th movie since 2009.
They've been trying forever to create a sequel to that that remake in 2009, but I just think all that died. I think, you know, we were between 2005 to 2010, we were, like, deep into remakes of all these horror characters.
Look at 2009 or 2010 to now. I would say we are heavily away from the slasher era.
Yeah.
It's more now about like demons and being possessed and real feeling kind of things. Even the Texas Chainsaw Massacre reboots, you know, they try to do Leatherface.
There's a new one coming out, right?
Yeah, there's supposed to be one that's like a Netflix original.
That's like a direct sequel to the original.
Right. But see, they did that a few years in 2013 or 2014 with Texas Chainsaw 3D.
Yeah.
That was supposed to be a direct sequel to the original, and it didn't do very well.
Well, I mean, you know, this year, you know, we have Halloween Kills, which just got done talking about. We have Candyman, which we're going to be talking about here in a couple weeks. And so, I mean, I think the trend now is to say, okay.
None of those sequels happened.
None of the sequels happened. We're just going to do a direct sequel to the original and just forget all the other sequels ever happened. And so that kind of brings up the question of, well, are they going to do that with everybody now or just certain ones?
Well, that's what the 2009 Friday the 13th, which we're going to talk about next week, that's what that movie was supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing happened after part one, and then this movie is kind of like part two and part three wrapped in together, and this is the direct sequel. It's been... out of all the movies, that's the one I've watched the least amount of times. I watched it once last year, and then it's been like 6-7 years since I've watched it before.
I think I remember you, when you watched it last year, you said you didn't like it.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting rewatch.
It'll be interesting rewatch. But that's because, honestly, I know these movies have to have somewhat of teenagers having sex. Mm-hmm. But there is a point in time in this remake that we're going to be talking about next week.
I mean, there's boobs galore in that remake.
But not only that, but there's like probably a good 90 seconds to 2.5 minutes of just fucking.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I know some of it has to be in there. That's just the lore of Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
But I don't think it has to turn into a god-awful, you know, softcore Game of Thrones porno-like scene.
You know, but I mean, there was a sequel to this, truthfully. It was a crossover event with the Evil Dead franchise. It turned out to be in comic book form. It was Evil Dead versus Freddy versus Jason versus Ash.
I know that was supposed to be, like, they wanted that on film, too.
Yeah.
But it ended up being, what, like you said, just a graphic novel.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think I'm glad I'm with you in that we don't need a sequel to this, because that would have opened Pandora's box of every horror character ever, Freddy versus Jason versus that. I think if they were going to do one, I think it should have been Freddy versus Jason versus Michael Myers. That's really the only one that kind of probably would have worked.
Maybe. Even then, that's just where I think when you involve three characters, that's just a little way too much.
Yeah.
And you could either make chicken salad out of it, or it could turn into chicken shit.
Yeah, it's true.
I did see a little bit of rumor, and this is like, I read this somewhere about, since Sam Raimi is directing
Doctor Strange.
Yeah. There might be a Ash cameo in Doctor Strange.
Campbell, yeah. I'm sure. I think he's in every single one of his movies. He was in
all three Spider-Man movies.
Yep. Let me ask you something, because this is, you know, this movie was made on a $30 million budget, and, you know, it was, you'd taken two of the most iconic horror villains ever. Do you think, I mean,
I think $116 million, is that what you're about to ask?
Yeah, I mean, do you think, this was a success. It made $116 million.
I still think it was a bust.
Yeah. I mean, it made its money back for sure, but I mean, that should have made like $200, $250 million.
I think they were looking at the $250 to $300 million range.
Mm-hmm.
But you also got to look at the time that it was released.
Yeah.
Look at the release date. What was it? Summer?
August, yeah.
Yeah. And then you're looking at 2003.
Yep.
So you had movies like The Incredible Hulk debuting for the first time in that year.
The Hulk, yep.
The superhero movies were really getting ready to kick off.
We had both the last two Matrix movies that same year.
Yeah.
And so it was just kind of like, yeah, I mean, it made its money, but I mean, it's just, I don't know if this film's been forgotten or not.
I can assure you that it's not been forgotten, because at least in the horror genre, you know, this is one of those, every summertime, you know, I see a bunch of horror cons, you know, they do, you know how some people put Jaws up on the big screen in a lake?
Mm-hmm.
They do the same thing with the Friday movies.
Yeah.
So these movies haven't gotten forgotten about. But I think I think August was the wrong time. This movie should have been a March.
October. It should have been October, really.
Or March.
Yeah.
I think if you do it right before the big summertime movies,
mm-hmm.
That's probably the best. So, yeah, I think this movie definitely should not be forgotten about. Mm-hmm. I think, then after this, you have, what, AVP 1 and 2.
Oh, Jesus, yeah.
Then that kicks off, like, you know, more crossover events, maybe with like Batman and Superman.
Yeah.
And
then really the last one we really got was this year's Godzilla versus Kong. I don't think versus movies, I just don't think that they're made to succeed.
Yeah. I'm still there with you though. I'm glad there was no sequel. I don't think it needs one. I think this is a perfect movie if you don't enjoy any of the, honestly, if you don't really enjoy or want to watch any of the franchises before this, this movie is a good standalone film.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Let's get into some favorite kills. Do you have any that you want to name off, one or two, or just one?
I think Mark's death was pretty dark, and the fact that, you know, he's literally remembering his brother's suicide in a blood-filled bathtub, and, you know, ultimately his demise is, you know, he gets the Freddy glove and a burnt message on his back. And then I think the stoner dude had a horrible death, just to be split in half by Jason. And honestly, probably Kia's death, because, you know, that type of force, and then her hitting the tree was like, oh, that'd be a horrible way to go out.
Yeah. What about your scenes? You were fine with just those? I did like the mention that you said of the bathtub scene.
And then probably, if I had to pick a favorite scene, probably the Freddy versus Jason fight in the cabin that's on fire. And then he gets, like, shoved through the windows and thrown out into the other cabin.
I would, yeah. Going back to the Godzilla versus Kong scenes, if you literally, any time that they were on screen, those scenes tear anything up apart.
Yeah.
I know this is probably kind of cheap, but honestly, my favorite kill, if you can even name it, would probably be, I mentioned it earlier, just Freddy's hoorah, like getting it from the point of him getting his head chopped off to Jason just dismantling him and walking away with the head. I think that is, if I could compare it to anything, Laurie Strode cutting Michael Myers' head off in H2O, if that was the final hurrah, that would have been perfect to send Freddy out. And I thought, you know, if you can consider that and count that as a kill, that'd be my favorite.
I do like that specific scene in his death, even right before he gets his head cut off, where Jason like shoves his glove arm into him. It's just kind of like a shocking moment. He drops the machete. That was, I think really could have ended it with that, and that's it, you know?
Yeah. Did you enjoy him walking away with the head, or do you feel like that should have been saved for like a post-credit scene? Or do you think it didn't need to happen?
I think if you're going into this movie looking for a clear winner, I think they just had to do it just to do that.
To please everybody?
Yeah, but that really would have been a really good post-credit scene. But I just don't, it would just been Laurie and Will walking away from the destruction, and that'd be the end of the movie. Have you ever seen the alternate ending to this?
No.
There's an alternate ending where, you know, there's always got to be a virgin in these movies. Laurie's about to lose her virginity and they're about to go at it, and Will starts to get a little rough, and she's like, what's wrong with you? And his hand turns into has the blades come out of him. And that's how that ending is.
Oh no. I mean, it might be one of the special features, but I haven't watched it.
Mm-hmm. It's on, I think it's on the Blu-ray or the DVD of it.
Nice. But yeah, if you guys are in there and you guys want to know, you know, want to let us know what your star rating is for Freddy versus Jason, send us in the email and we will talk about it Monday when we talk about Dune, the 2021 remake. So send us in those emails at cinemen921@gmail.com. And we'll talk the ratings on Monday. Mm-hmm. But for you, Zach, what is your star rating for this movie?
You know, honestly, it's a film that I don't forget that it exists, but I just forget, like, in the moment. Like, there'll be long periods of time where I don't watch it. And honestly, it's a fun, I don't know if you would call it a guilty pleasure, but it's a really fun rewatch. So, I mean, I'm gonna give it a 7.
Wow. We
was hit, a lot higher than you thought I would?
No, it hit it on the same cylinders I did. I'm gonna give it a 7 as well. And, yeah, if you go in with just, I think you gotta go in, just have fun with it.
Yeah.
It's a fun movie. The kills are fun. There's a lot of blood, and it's just a flat out feel good time. Yeah.
I mean, it really lives up to like Godzilla versus Kong. It lives up to Freddy versus Jason.
But I think going all the way back to part one, I don't think you can take any of these movies too seriously.
Well, let me ask you about that. Cause you know, you guys are about to wrap up this retrospective with the remake. Would you consider this one probably top 2, top 3 of the franchise?
Out of the Friday of the franchise, I'm going to give my final rankings next week, but this would probably be in the top 5.
Okay.
Yeah, this would probably be a top 5. I know for sure this is in the top 4 as far as our star ratings go.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, top 5 for me. What about you?
I mean,
from the ones you've seen.
From the ones I've seen, probably this would be like a top 2 or 3.
Top 2 or 3?
Yeah.
Other than that, man, I think this is going to be almost a fun dagger to the end of this Friday the 13th franchise. It's been honestly really fun just enjoying the conversations with you, with Mark, with Ed. And it's been just a fun, flat-out rewatch and round group of conversations. If you could put all these episodes into one big podcast, it'd be a fun little 10-hour road trip episodes. Maybe you can go back and listen to. But honestly, I don't know really what to expect about the conversation of the reboot. I think it'll be fun. So who knows? But I want everybody out there who's listened to and who's, you know, been on this journey, thank you, and send in your reviews. Send us in your Scream Factory box set, your pictures, your reviews of this box set. Let us know how you feel about these movies and rank them. Let us know your rankings of the Friday 13th films, and we will share them on the episodes. So, all right, Zach. So do you have anything else you want to put your final nail in the coffin of Freddy vs. Jason?
No, you know, I mean, if you are moderately interested in seeing, you know, if you're a fan of either Freddy or Jason, I think you'll enjoy this. Like you said earlier, you don't really need to see the other films in the trilogy, in the franchise. This movie kind of takes care of that for you, and it's a fun watch.
Good. But yeah, I'm good. And you know, this is going to be it for this week. Monday, are you excited for Dune?
I am. I really, truly, I think this will be a lot better experience than the last time. It's got a killer cast, good director behind it, and way better visual effects. So we will definitely see. Are you going to check it out in the theater or HBO Max?
I think I'm going to do the HBO Max. I'm not going to. I don't think I'm going to go check this out in the theater. But I am glad. You know, next Thursday, Friday the 13th, the reboot from 2009, and then Zach, it's just a matter of time. Spider-Man bonus episodes.
Yeah, those will be fun.
Swinging into your way. So, but yeah, this is Juan, and we'll see you guys Monday when we talk all things Dune right here on the Cinnamon Movie Podcast.
Warn your friends. Warn everyone.
Welcome to my nightmare.
We're resting for wake or sleep.
Why won't you die? Versus Jason.